for tape, CDs, DVDs, to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Sunday morning, December the 29th, 1985. Midwinter family camp meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Tommy Cook is the speaker of the morning.
How many believe we have to overcome?
Amen.
You know, turn to Revelation 11 just a second. Let's look at the scriptures we start today. We're not going to teach from this chapter. We were in it a little bit the other day, but you know, the fun games are over, as our sister said this morning. The party's over. And I believe it's time that we grow up in Christ. Amen?
Amen.
But to grow up in Christ, there's some real overcoming that God requires of us. Chapter 11, verse 1, there was given me a reed like a rod. The angel stood saying, rise and measure the temple. Who's the temple?
Yeah.
We are. The temple of God and the altar, that's the place of worship, sacrifice, dedication, and many things, and them that worship therein, but the court, look at this, but the court, which is without the temple, leave it out. Leave out, and measure it not. So at this time, it is not measured. For it is given unto the Gentiles, the heathen, the nation. And the holy city shall they tread underfoot 42 months. Now, it's dangerous to remain in the outer court. We have knowledge to come on in. In the outer court, there is sin and there is self. Amen? And God said that the outer court shall be trodden down. Jesus said, if the salt has lost its savor, it is good for nothing but to be thrown out and trodden underfoot of men. Amen? So we don't want to remain just in the outer court. We've got to press on into God. Now, turn to John 16. I just gave you that to start with today. Turn to John 16. Jesus said in John 16, 33, these things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. How many need the peace of God today? My peace I give unto you, Jesus said, not as the world gives. Colossians says, let the peace of God rule in your heart, actually, to be an umpire in your heart. We need that peace, don't we? Paul said that the peace that passes all understanding shall keep our heart and mind through Jesus Christ. The Old Testament, Haggai said that the latter house, the glory of the latter house, shall be greater than the former. He didn't say the house would be greater. He said the glory of the latter would be greater than the former. And in this place, God said, I'll give my peace. Praise the Lord. All right, he said, in me you have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation. What's the world? It's the lust of the eye, lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. Now, Jesus stated a principle there. In the world, in the lust of the eye, lust of the flesh, and pride of life, you'll have tribulation. But he said, be of good cheer. I have conquered, prevailed, overcome, got the victory over the world. Now, if Jesus overcame the world, he is our pattern. Isn't that right? How we overcome the world. Praise the Lord. But he said, I've overcome, or I've actually conquered the world. Praise the Lord. And so, the scripture says that Moses forsook Egypt by faith. What's Egypt? The type of the world. And we know we have to forsake Egypt by faith. God's not going to make us, is he? You have to desire to set yourselves apart from the world or from Egypt. But Jesus said, I've conquered, I've overcome the world. Praise the Lord. Now, we want to share a few scriptures today on overcoming. We know that Jesus gave many promises to the overcomer. We could go into those promises. Though there are many that can partake of the tree of life. They can have a new stone with their name written in it. There are those that will rule the nations. There are those that will sit with him on the throne. So there are many promises. But there's some real overcoming. How many know we can't even rule ourselves many times along the nation? We can't even rule our billfold. We can't rule a lot of little simple things, let alone ruling the nation. Amen? We conquer ourselves before we conquer anything else, that's for sure. Now, turn with me to some scriptures today, if you will. Turn to Romans 12. Romans 12. In verse 21, the Apostle Paul, speaking to the church, hallelujah, said, "Be not overcome of evil." How many know there's a possibility to be overcome of evil if you allow it? "Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good." Well, how many know there's no goodness in ourselves? But how many know there is a fruit of goodness? Nathanael said, "Can any good thing come out of Nazareth?" Jesus was anointed by God, by the Holy Ghost, who went about doing good and healing all that was oppressed of the devil. Turn back here just a minute to Acts. Acts 11. Let's look at a man here in the scripture. Acts 11. And look at verse 20, I suppose. Hallelujah. No, 22. "Then tidings of these things came unto the ears of the church, which was in Jerusalem, and they sent forth Barnabas, that he should go as far as Antioch. To whom he came and had seen the grace of God, was glad, and exhorted them all, that with purpose of heart they would cleave to the Lord, for he was a good man." How many know the ministry needs to be good? They need the fruit of goodness. They need the good one in them, the Lord Jesus. "He was a good man and full of the Holy Ghost and of faith, and much people were added unto the Lord." We know Barnabas was a teacher. He was probably a prophet, and yet he became an apostle as well. Praise the Lord. So, the Bible said, back in Romans 12, 21, "Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good." And, of course, you can go into a lot of things with that. Now, look up to verse 17 of chapter 12 of Romans. "Recompense no man evil for evil." How many know God's the avenger, not us? Amen? Then look in verse 9. "Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good." Abhor that, but cleave to that which is good. Praise the Lord. Now, turn to 1 Thessalonians 5, just a minute. 1 Thessalonians 5. Praise the Lord. 1 Thessalonians 5. And let's look at verse 22. "Abstain from all appearance of evil." Now, when the very appearance of evil is on the scene, God said, get away from it. Abstain. Leave it alone. The Bible said Job eschewed evil. He abhorred it. He disassociated himself from it. Amen? "Abstain from all appearance of evil." So whatever comes your way that's evil, God said, abstain. Leave it alone. Get away from it. And what's God going to do? He will sanctify then you. Amen? Spirit, soul, and body. Praise the Lord. So to overcome, one of the ways we overcome is overcoming evil by good. Amen? But we cannot be naive. We cannot just say, well, I can, you know, evil won't bother me. It won't touch me. I mean, all that woman coming into Joseph in the Old Testament, day after day, wanted her to lie with him. I mean, no, he had run out of the house. He had to run and leave the situation. But he said no the first time, didn't he? Amen? But the time came, he actually had to flee out of her presence. Of course, he left one of his garments behind, didn't he? How many know there were three strippings in Joseph's life? Yes, he was stripped by his brethren and threw in the pit. His half-brothers. He was stripped by the Romans, partially. And he was stripped from his prison raiment and went to the throne. 30, 60, 100. If you want to take the throne, you'll be stripped. And if you're not in the fire today, it's because you're not going on with God. If you're claiming to be an overcomer, I'll tell you, you're in the fire some today. Amen? You know, I've been preaching 20 years, and this has been the toughest year in 20 years, 1985. And I think as we go on into God, it may get a little tougher, but it's going to take more of God coming into us to overcome. Amen? Hallelujah. How many know that when he apprehended you, he didn't tell you he was going to put a silver cup in your sack? But he does, doesn't he? And he doesn't ask us either, does he, if he can do it. So probably some of you have a silver cup in your sack. Praise the Lord. So we must overcome evil with good. Now turn to 1 John 5. 1 John chapter 5. Look in verse 4. Whatsoever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcomes the world but he that believes that Jesus is the Son of God? Now Jude says we must contend for what? The faith. Paul exhorted the brethren in Acts 14 to continue in the faith. Paul had come preaching that we enter the kingdom through much tribulation. Paul had just been stoned, so he knew something about tribulation, didn't he? And he exhorted the young brethren to continue in the faith. And yet Jude says contend. And that word contend, if you look it up, how many know it's really, there's really a warfare there? Paul said, let us fight the good fight of faith. So there is a fighting of the good fight of faith. And later he said, I have fought a good fight. Amen? We won't go into all those words. But here John says that we overcome the world by our faith. Of course, our faith is his faith. How many know you don't have any faith without Jesus? We need his faith. We may say it's our faith, but it's still his faith. Amen? Praise the Lord. Now, turn to another scripture with me, to Revelation 15. Revelation 15. John said, and I saw another sign in heaven, great and marvelous, seven angels having the seven last plagues, for in them is filled up the wrath of God. And I saw as it were a sea of glass mingled with what? Fire. I mean, no, fire represents testings in our lives. Fire. As I said the other day, it's more. We're not just to be next to the fire, in the fire. We must become the fire itself by the Spirit and the Word that we speak from the throne. But he said, I saw as it were a sea of glass mingle with fire, and them that had gotten the victory. Them that had gotten the victory. The old time Pentecostal, you say, you know, do you have the victory? Or they prayed through till they got the victory. Well, I'll tell you, there's something to it. Amen? Amen? Hallelujah. But here it says they had gotten the victory over the beast. And the word victory is the word to overcome, or to prevail, or to conquer. Now, don't tell me these people were expecting a rapture here. Because they're here in the time of the beast. Now, there's a beast, as we said the other day, at the feast. Amen? And there's a liar for the fire. And the beast first is in. But there's a beast coming out there. You can see it already written, 666, all over things out there, can't you? But before you get to 7, you've got to come through 6. Amen? So thank God we see 666, because we're heading towards 7. God's number. But right here, here's a people, brethren. Here's some people that in the midst of tribulation overcome. Amen? And to overcome means you've got to come over something. Isn't that right? Whatever it may be, standing in your way. But here, it was the beast. They got the victory over the beast, over his image, over his mark, over the number of his name. Where are they standing? On the sea of glass, having the harps of God. Chapter 14, talked about those harps there with 144,000. Let's look at it in verse 2. And by the word Zion, if you don't know, there's some new people here. The word Zion there means the church militant and triumphant. God has a militant and triumphant people. Amen? So there's a people standing with him. They're sealed in their foreheads. They're harping. Notice it says, I heard the voice of harpers harping with their harp. They're not just harping like we do, but they're harping with their harp. There's worship involved. And they sing a new song before the throne of God. Amen? It's a new message. Not everybody's singing that message, but thank God for those that are. Before the four beasts, the elders. No man can learn that song. I mean, no, you got to learn that song. Jesus said, come unto me, all you that are heavy laden, I will give you rest, right? Take my yoke and learn of me. Same word. So to learn of Jesus is learning this new song. It said Jesus learned obedience by the things he suffered. Same word. How are we going to learn obedience? By the things you suffer. Amen? And if we suffer with him, we'll reign with him. In Luke 19, they said, we don't want him to reign over us. If he doesn't reign over you, there will be no glory.
Amen? Amen. All right. Verse 3 again. They sung as it were a new song before the throne, before the four beasts, the elders. No man can learn that song but the 144,000 which were redeemed from the earth. These are they which were not defiled with the harlot. Look in chapter 17. The women. How many know there's a true church coming forth and there's a harlot coming forth? Chapter 17 of Revelation, and there came out one of the seven angels that had the seven vials, talking to me, saying, come hither, come hither. Now, earlier he had been told to come up hither. In chapter 4, remember that? The Holy Spirit said to him, come up hither. John went up. But now he's told, come hither, come closer. I will show unto thee the judgment of the great whore that sitteth. Let's see where she's sitting. She's sitting upon many waters. Look in verse 15. It tells you what the waters are. The Bible explains itself, doesn't it? And he said to me, the waters which thou sawest where the whore sitteth, and she's sitting there today, are people, multitudes, and nations, and tongues. As people. Now come back to chapter 17. Look at verse 2. With whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, and I believe that's spiritual fornication, the inhabitants of the earth had been drunk with the wine of her fornication, so he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman. Now, where was John at? He was in the spirit in the wilderness, and he saw the woman. Now, in Revelation chapter 21, he was in the spirit, but he was taken to a high mountain, and he saw the lamb's wife, the bride of Christ. But both cases, he was in the spirit, except one, he was on a high mountain, and here he's in the wilderness. Well, how many know if you're in the spirit in the wilderness, God may show you the harlot? Amen? And the higher you go in God, he's going to show you the church. But it's all in the spirit. But he carried me away in the spirit. Notice, he did it. You can't give yourself a revelation, can you? Many are trying to. He carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sit. Now notice where she's sitting again. She's sitting upon a scarlet colored beast. Well, we saw she was sitting upon many waters as well. Isn't that right? And the waters are what? People, the nation. And yet it says she's sitting on a beast. Turn back to Revelation 13. Hallelujah. Verse 1. And I sit upon the sand of the sea. What sea represent? Humanity. And saw a beast rise up out of the sea of the people. Amen. And yet she is sitting upon many waters, and yet she is sitting upon the beast, which tells me she's in charge at this time. How many know there was Jezebel and Ahab? Religious Babylon, political Babylon. Then those two. And yet they were one. And yet, really, she was running the show. Amen? But thank God there was a prophet in the land that prophesied their doom. Amen? How many know he prophesied a famine? 3.5 years of famine. And they couldn't find Elijah wherever he went. And God's raising up some prophets in the hour of tribulation, isn't he? Turn back to chapter 11 a minute. Hallelujah. Chapter 11 of Revelation, verse 3, and I will give power, the word power means authority, over unto my two witnesses. And they're not just two people. It is the Lord and the people. And they shall prophesy 1,260 days clothed in sackcloth. They're in mourning, they're in fasting, they're prayer warriors, I mean they're intercessors, call them what you want to. But they're in sackcloth, they're in a flesh and blood body, they don't have a redeemed body here. Hallelujah. But they're on the scene. Amen? So Elijah prophesied the doom of Ahab and Jezebel in the time of great tribulation. And so in the hour of great tribulation, brethren, God is raising up some prophets. Amen? The two witnesses that's going to prophesy. Praise the Lord. Amen. All right, let's go back to chapter 17 just a minute. Now notice, she's sitting where? Upon many waters. She's sitting upon a scarlet-colored beast, having seven heads and 10 horns. Praise the Lord. Well, I guess I could use a blackboard, but I won't. Seven heads and how many horns? 10. Now turn to Daniel. We'll be back here in just a minute. Turn to Daniel 8.
Please turn the tape over. Thank you.
Turn to Daniel 8. How many has ever studied Daniel 8? Well, how many know in chapter 7 he deals with a horn coming after the ten are set up? Ten kingdoms. In Daniel 7, I said, there were ten horns. And Daniel talks about one a little horn coming forth and making war on the saints. But in Daniel 8, Daniel narrows it down from 10 to 4. We're going to see this. In the third year of the reign of King Belshazzar, a vision appeared to me, even unto me, Daniel, after that which appeared to me at the first. And I saw in a vision. How many have ever said of the book of Daniel? God would give him a vision, and then he would come and give him another. He would just attach it to it, to the one he had before. So he said, I had a vision, and it came to pass. I saw in a vision, it came to pass. When I saw that I was at Shushan at the palace, which is in the province of Elam, and I saw the vision, and I was by the river Eulah. Then I lifted up mine eyes and saw, and behold, there stood before the river a ram which had two horns, and two horns were high, but one was higher than the other. And the higher came up last. All right, the Bible will explain who they are in just a minute. I saw the ram pushing westward, northward, southward, so that no beast might stand before him. Neither was there any that could deliver out of his hand, but he did according to his will and became great. And as I was considering, behold, a he-goat came from the west on the face of the whole earth. I mean, God's using symbolism here. And touched on the ground, and the goat had a notable horn between his eyes, and that was Alexander. And it came, to the ram that had two horns, which I'd seen standing before the river, and ran unto him in the furious power, and I saw him come close to the ram. He was moved with choler against him and smote the ram, break his two horns. There was no power in the ram to stand before him, but he cast him down to the ground, stamped upon him, and there was none that could deliver the ram out of his hand. Therefore, the he-goat waxed very great, and when the he-goat was strong, Alexander conquered all this known territory of the Grecian Empire within a short time. He was a young man, and he died at an early age. Therefore, the he-goat waxed very great, and he was strong, and the great horn was broken. All right, now notice. And for it, for this great horn, this is broken up into four, came up four notable ones toward the four winds of heaven. Now turn back just a minute. Hold your place. Turn back to chapter 2. In chapter 2, we're dealing with four different metals. Amen? That Babylon was the head of gold in verse 38, I believe it is. Amen? All right. And then there was the brass, which was the kingdom of Greece. And then there was the silver, then there was the iron, and so forth, in chapter 2. All right. I just want to say that. Turn back now to chapter 8. Turn back to chapter 8. Now, notice he said this great horn is broken up into four parts, right? Towards the four winds of heaven. And the Bible talks in Daniel of four heads upon the beast of the leopard, which is the Grecian Empire. Four wings, four horns, four winds, or four beasts. There's a lot of fours in Daniel. Four is the number of creation in the world. All right, so we see here that this horn was broken up into four. Verse 9. But out of one of them came forth what? A little horn. Now, if you go back into your encyclopedias, you'll see that the four horns were broken up into Greece, Turkey, Syria, and Egypt in our modern language. Now, there were two other names. Thrace and Macedonia would be used probably back way back then. But today, it's Greece, Turkey, Syria, and Egypt. And out of one of them came forth a little horn. Now, my conviction, and it's just my conviction, I don't try to put it on others, I believe the actual medicine will come from the Middle East. But nevertheless, he's going to come on the scene, isn't he? Out of one of them came forth what? A little horn, which waxed exceedingly great towards the south, towards the east, and the pleasant land. Now look and see what he did in verse 10. And it waxed great even to the host of heaven, cast down some of the hosts and of the stars to the ground. Well, he's not dealing with natural stars. How many know that saints, God's people, are living in the heavens? They are stars. Daniel 12 tells us they're stars. And yet this man, or this one, is going to cast down stars to the ground. How many know the stars are fallen? God gave me a word last year, the stars are fallen. And brethren, we need to be concerned for those who fall. Amen? And we need to be concerned that we don't fall. Hallelujah. Yet he magnified himself and so forth, it says here. Now, turn to verse 23 there. In the latter time of their kingdom, when the transgressors are come to the full. Or let's say this way, when the cup of iniquity is full, a king of fierce countenance and understanding dark tendencies shall stand up. I mean, know that we've never seen iniquity like we see it today in transgression. And God said, when the cup is full, in the time of the transgression, when they come to the fullness, you see, just as God's bringing the people to their fullness, the enemy's bringing the people to his fullness. Amen? And just as God's raising up sons, so the devil's raising up sons. Now look in chapter 8. Look in verse 25. And through verse 24. His power shall be mighty, but not by his own power. How many know the devil's going to give him his feet, throne, and authority? And he shall destroy wonderfully, but yet God's allowing that to happen, though, isn't he? Now why does Antichrist have to come? I'll tell you why. Man won't repent. Amen? His power shall be mighty, but not by his own power. He shall destroy wonderfully, shall prosper, practice, and shall destroy, look at this, the mighty and the holy people. That's God's people. Now let's see how he's going to do it. And through his policy, he shall cause craft, I think that word means deceit, I may be wrong, to prosper in his hand, and he shall magnify himself in his heart, and by peace, prosperity, security, shall destroy many. By prosperity and by security, or by peace, he shall destroy many. That's how he's going to do it. I mean, Jesus talked about the last church age. You say you're rich and increase of goods. But he said you're naked, you're poor, you're blind. That was their condition. And yet here, the scripture says, by peace or prosperity, he shall destroy many. He shall also stand up against the prince of princes. But he shall be broken without hand. Big dummy, you won't have any sense stand up against Jesus. Amen? Hallelujah. Now, turn to Revelation 17 again. Thank you, Jesus. Now, we said in verse 1, where is she sitting? Upon many waters or upon the multitude, verse 15. Then in verse 3, she's sitting upon the beast, right? Yeah. Then in verse 9, here is the mind which hath wisdom. The seven heads, remember she has 10 horns and how many heads? 7 heads. Turn back just a minute to Revelation 13. Revelation 13, verse 2. And the beast which I saw was like unto a... What kingdom did Daniel deal with as a leopard? The Grecian Empire. Babylon was the lion. Medo-Persia, actually, we didn't see that. I should have took you and showed that in chapter 8. Was the Medo-Persia was the bear. And right here, the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard. Notice, the beast was like leopard, not part of the beast. The beast was leopard. And the feet was the feet of a bear. The mouth as the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him his power, his seat, and great authority. Amen? Now notice what it says in verse 3. And I saw one. How many heads did he have? 7. I saw one of his heads as it were wounded to death. And his deadly wound was healed, and all the world wondered after the beast. Okay, let's go back to chapter 17. Verse 9 again. Here is the mind which hath wisdom. Do you need the wisdom of God? I said, you need the wisdom of God. I need the wisdom of God. Turn back to chapter 13, 18. God's just given me these scriptures. I'm going as he's flowing with me. 13, 18. Here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of man, and the number is 666. God gave me a word the other morning concerning a money system and the beast, but I haven't got to bring that. But nevertheless, here is wisdom. We need the wisdom of God, amen, concerning the beast. We need the wisdom of God concerning the harlot. We need the wisdom of God concerning these 7 heads. Back in chapter 17 now, verse 9. Here is the mind which hath wisdom. That's the mind of Christ. The 7 heads are 7 mountains. Mountains speaks of government.
kingdom. You can't have a kingdom without a king, can you? On which the woman sitteth. And they, or these, actually are seven kings. Amen? Now look at this. Now listen to what John said in his day. John, the apostle, is seeing this great vision, right? He said, five have fallen. Five of the seven had fallen. We're not dealing with seven hills in Rome. Because if it is, she's pretty shaky. Five had fallen if they're natural hills. What if that was Rome? I mean, no Rome is in power even in the day of Jesus. And the other is not yet come. When he cometh, he must continue how long? So it's faith. And the beast that was and is not, even he's the eighth and is of the seven, goes into what? Perdition. I mean, when you're dealing with a beast, you're dealing with a spirit, you're dealing with a man, and you're dealing with a kingdom. And yet, several scriptures says the beast comes out of the pit, bottomless pit. Amen? And yet, I believe there'll be a man, and yet there's a beast in people, isn't there? And yet, the beast has a kingdom, just as Jesus Christ is the head. Amen? How many believe he's the head today? Jesus is the head. The Holy Spirit is putting a body together, isn't it? Well, Antichrist has a false prophet ministry, doesn't he? Or an evil spirit, however you want to say it, and bringing a body together. But here, we're seeing something. Five had fallen, one was, and he said, the other's not yet come. When he cometh, he must continue a short space. Now, you go back to persecution. Where was God's people when Moses came on the scene? Well, we're in bondage. Egypt. They persecuted the people of God. Then you come up to Assyria. That's how many? Two. Then Babylon, Medo-Persia, Greece, Rome. That's six, isn't it? The ten nations be set up. How many is that? Seven. And out of one of them will come forth a little horn. The beast is number. And yet he's got to be of the former seven. And yet the revelation said one had a wound to death. And my conviction is, it's the Grecian Empire that will be revived. Hallelujah. And out of one of those four will come forth the man of sin. Praise the Lord. Amen. Okay, let's turn back here to Revelation 13. Now, let's bring it down to where we live, which is important. In verse 5, this beast that people worship. And in verse 5, there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies, and power, authority was given to him to continue. How long? Brethren, of all the scriptures that I know of in scriptures, I do not see the tribulation 7 years. I see it 3.5 years. 42 months, 1260 days, time, half a time. I do not see it 7 years. I see it 3.5 years. But, I mean, no, tribulation is tribulation. Whether it's 3 years or 20 years, I mean, it's tribulation. Now, tribulation will lead up to tribulation. But nevertheless, it says he, this one, has power, authority. It was given to him, continued 42 months, and he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God to blaspheme his name, his tabernacle, and them that dwell in heaven. He's a blasphemer. Well, how many know there's one living in you today that's a blasphemer? It's the beast. That's the beast. Verse 7, but look at verse 7. It was given unto him to make war with who? The saints, and to overcome them. Does your Bible say that? I wonder why many modern preachers can't see that. Well, the reason, because they see the church already gone. And I used to preach that. That sounds nice. That sounds good, doesn't it? But the church isn't gone. It's right here. Amen? I believe the Bible over the doctrines of men. It was given unto him. Notice, it was given to him. God's going to permit it. To make war with the saints and to overcome them. Now, Daniel does give us some light until the Ancient of Days came. Amen? Until Christ comes in a people. It was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them, and power was given him over all kindred tongues and nations. Praise the Lord. Now, turn to 2 Peter. I'm trying to show you, brethren, today. We're either overcoming or we're going to be overcome. 2 Peter chapter 2. We've just touched a few things here. 2 Peter chapter 2. And boy, what a chapter we're dealing with. We're dealing with Balaam here. We're dealing with who loved unrighteousness, who loved the money. How many believe God's going to deal with the money system? How many know that where your heart is, that's where your treasure is? How many believe that Judas Iscariot was also a son of perdition? How many know that he did two things? He was against the Christ. And we saw, several things there, but number one, he was against the Christ. He worked against the Christ, or Jesus. And Jesus was replaced by who? Barabbas. The word Antichrist means against and in place of. There is a spirit that's against Jesus today, isn't there? And that spirit would like to replace Jesus with Antichrist. Amen? Hallelujah. But Judas was the betrayer. Judas was the son of perdition. Jesus said, none's lost but the son of perdition. But who was Judas? He was the one who was he took care of the bag. He took care of the money, but yet he was a thief. And he took out the bag. Another place, he said, why wasn't this ointment sold for 300 pence? And Jesus said, you didn't care for the poor. He wanted the money for himself. You cannot separate the beast, the harlot, and the money system. It's all together. Amen? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Now, how many believe that God's kingdom is going to be supported, though? Turn with me to another scripture. I got to give you this. I just got so much, I just know which way to go. In Zechariah 14, I want to give you this scripture. Zechariah 14. I gave it here once before, but I feel I should give it again. Zechariah 14:21. Yea, every pot in Jerusalem and Judah shall be holiness to the Lord of hosts, and all they that sacrifice shall come and take of them and seize therein. And in that day there shall be no more the Canaanites. Where? In the house of the Lord. Who's the house? The word Canaanite means a peddler, a trafficker, and a merchant. How many's ever got any holy rocks through the mail? Handprint. Holy water out of Jordan, and you send them a big offering. God's against that junk, isn't he? And God said there'll be no more Canaanite in the house of the Lord. He's going to cut off the peddlers. He's going to cut off the traffickers. He's going to cut off the merchandisers. Amen? Hallelujah. Now, turn to Micah. Micah. Micah 3:11. The heads, the leaders, judge for reward. The priests teach for hire. And the prophets divine for money. Sounds like 1985. Brethren, beware of those who want to try to get things out of you the wrong way. Amen? There are those that want to make merchandise of you, that want to get anything out of you they can. By manipulation. By false prophecy, any way they can do it. And especially if a person comes to you to prophesy for so much money, just tell them to get lost. Now, let me show you here in Micah the kind of people that he's also talking about, even in the midst of all the corruption, for hire, for reward, and for money. Look in chapter 4 and verse 6. How many believe there's the dealings of God in our life? It's not all the devil. He has his part. He does his dirty work. But God also has something to say about your life. And in verse 6, in that day, or we could say in our day, says the Lord, will I assemble her. Her is not him. I believe her is God's church. Notice, I'm going to assemble her that halt. How many's ever come to a halt because God brought you to a halt? When you come to a halt, you're going to stop, you're going to look, and you're going to listen, brother. Amen? And if you don't, you'll get run over. And I can see even men, brethren, that we see up on the TV or radio, wherever, that God would like to bring their program to a halt, maybe. And yet they keep popping it up. And he may be bringing ours to a halt. And we're trying to prop it up. Amen? But God said, I'm going to assemble her, or call together her, that halteth. And that word halteth, my Martin says, that's lame. I mean, if you're lame, you can't go too far. And God can cripple us where we can't move. And I will gather her that is driven out and her that I have afflicted. So God's going to bring us to a halt. We're going to stop. We're going to look. We're going to listen. And God's going to drive us out of what we're in. How many believe he's got some hornets? They come in here, you'll make another door, probably. You can't get through that in there. God has a way to get our attention, doesn't he? He has a way to stop us. He has a way to drive us out. He's got a driver's license. He don't need a backseat driver. Amen? And he said, I'm going to drive her out. Hallelujah. Out of the things she's into what I want. Out of their program, into my program. And her that I have afflicted. Did you hear that? So he stops you, he drives you out. How? By affliction. Turn back to Hosea. Hosea 5:15. And you know, if you're in affliction, you're not the only duck in the puddle. Amen? Neither am I. Hosea 5:15. I will go, Paul said, we have an appointment with affliction. You're appointed to be afflicted. What do we do when we're afflicted? We pray. 5:15, I will go and return to my place till they acknowledge their offense and seek my face, a union, a communion, an intimacy, and in their affliction, they will seek me out. God has a way to get us seeking him, doesn't he? Put some affliction upon you. Send the hornet. Feel like I've been in a whole swarm of them. Back to Micah now. Let's go back there. Verse 7, and I will make her, again it's her, that halted, that come to a stop, it's lame. I will make her a remnant. You want to be part of God's remnant? Then stop. Let him drive you out of what you're in by affliction. Begin to seek him. And God said, I'll make her. You can't make yourself. I'll make her that halted a remnant, and her that was cast off, far off a strong nation. Joel said there's a strong people that's never been the like. Amen? And they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. And notice, Peter said it's a holy nation, but here he said it's a strong nation. And the Lord shall reign, no lawlessness, over them in Mount Zion from henceforth, even forever. And thou, O tower of the flock, the stronghold of the daughter of Zion, unto thee shall it come, even the what? First, dominion. Now that word means many things, but one of the meanings of dominion is government. I believe it's the first fruit people. But I believe it's the people under the government of God. Amen? God's government, not man's. And the kingdom shall come to the daughter of Jerusalem. Now how many know brideship precedes sonship? Huh? Thank God. One day you may be in the bride, and one of these days, next month or next year or 10 years, we may be in the sons. Amen? There's no full-grown sons yet. We're still part of the woman. Amen? Now, we're heading that way, some of us. Thank God for that. But we haven't arrived. If I have, I've missed my boat. Now, how many know a remnant is not a quality item? That's for sale. A remnant is that material that's left over, isn't it? It's odd shape. Boy, you can say that again. It's not the most popular item. But what is a remnant for, brethren? It is to restore that which has been torn. How many know there's some people been torn? You can mend. But there are people that's been torn. They've been hurt. The Bible talks about the repair of the breach. You ever read that? God's raising up some people that will restore, repair, and won't be those who tear and destroy. I'd like to be part of that remnant. Now, I said we'll overcome a little bit. I didn't get on that as much as I want to. Turn now to some scriptures with me. Got to go back here. Turn to 1 John 3. About 5 more of minutes of preaching, maybe. I won't say for sure, because you'd be saying I was lying. 1 John 3:22. Whatsoever we ask. Now follow me. Whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, do we? No, not yet.
Not unless we meet some qualifications. Because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. Now, to be an overcomer, how many know you've got to keep his commandments? And when you keep his commandments, you prove that you love God. Now, God said, whatever you ask, I believe to me that's the whole man. We receive, if we keep his commandments, his words, his sayings, and do those things that please him, that are pleasing in his sight. So there's some things that please God, there are many things that doesn't please God, of course. Amen? Now turn, I could go a lot more into that, but turn now to another scripture in John 14, just real quickly. John 14. Boy, this has been a hit and miss thing today. But in John 14, verse 13, Jesus talked about the greater works in verse 12, and of course we haven't even done the works yet, let alone the greater works. Verse 13, John 14. Whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Verse 14. If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. But what's the next verse? If you love me, keep my commandments, my word, my sayings. All right, now look at verse 21. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loves me shall be loved of my Father. I will love him and will manifest myself to him. The Amplified said, I will show, reveal, manifest myself to him. I will let myself be clearly seen by him and make myself real to him. Who? Who too? The one that keeps the commandments and the one that loves him. Hallelujah. I'll tell you, Jesus wants to appear to you and me. Whatever form he may appear to us, I want it. How about you? Whether it's through the Word, by the Spirit, or he walks right in here and reveals himself to you. I mean, I want to see Jesus, don't you? Hallelujah. He said he would manifest himself to us if we loved him and keep his commandments. Amen. Verse 23. Judas said, well, will you manifest yourself to the world? Again, the world's lusty eyes, lust, flesh, pride of life. We get off in that realm. How many know we cut ourselves off from that manifestation? That appearance. Jesus answered and said, how many know Jesus didn't pray for the world? He died for the world. How many of you can cut off his intercession maybe for you? You get out there in that world and you live for the devil. You got to come back and repent, don't you? Jesus answered and said to him, if a man love me, he'll keep my words. My Father will love him. We'll come unto him, make our abode with him, our mansion with him. He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings, and the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father who sent me. All right, now, let's go back to 1 John 3 real quick. Go back there real quick. 1 John 3, verse 22. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. How many know Jesus said, without me you can do nothing? Yet he said, by Christ, Paul said, we can do all things, right? Why call you me Lord, Lord, and do not the things I say? Now turn to Revelation 22. Revelation 22, verse... let's see here. 14. Blessed are they that do his commandment, his word, his saying, that they, those that do, may have authority or the privilege or the right to the tree of life. And notice also they may enter into the gates, into the city, and there's 12 gates, and there's 12 experiences in God. You come through those 12 experiences in God, you'll be a mature son. Hallelujah. And that's a message in itself, brethren. But he noticed, those that do his commandments, they have a right, a privilege, authority to the tree of life. Now turn to Revelation 2:7. Revelation 2:7. It says, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him that overcometh, will I give to eat of the tree of life. Well, who are keeping his commandments? And who is it that loves God? The overcomer. And they can ask what they will. Did you hear that? They can ask what they will if they keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. Do you believe that?
Amen.
Amen. He's called us to be overcomers, brother. Amen? Amen. Well, I'll stop there. Praise the Lord. No, I won't either. Read, you got your Bible there, Glenn? Read Revelation 12, 17. Well, let me get mine. Two more scriptures. I've got to give you two more. I can't close. Forgive me. Revelation 12, 17. And the dragon was wroth with the church. It sure is. The woman. And went to make war with the who? The remnant of her seed. The remnant of her seed. How many know that right in the book of Genesis, the Lord said that that seed, the seed of the woman, the Christ seed, would bruise his head. His the controlling factor. And he'll bruise our heel. How many know heel in the scripture speaks of iniquity? Don't go into that. The dragon was wroth with the woman, went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus. I'll tell you, the overcomers are out there. Now, you want to look at chapter 14 with me? All right, good. Verse 4. Yeah, these are they which are not defiled with women. That's right. They're virgins. Now, look in verse... look in verse 12. He had just been talking about the mark of the beast. Here, John had the smoke of the torment goes up to worship the beast and so forth. Verse 12. Here is the patience of the saints. Endurance. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. And I heard a voice from heaven. Brother, this is heaven talking. Saying unto me, write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. And I'm not just talking about a death to self. I mean, though that's important. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors. Now look at this. And their work do follow them. Hallelujah. How many want to overcome? And we've got to keep His commandments, don't we? We've got to love Him. Let's stand. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. You know, brethren, I think we should give... Now, hear what I'm going to say. I think we should give the Lord a good clap hand in just a minute of all the messages we've heard from the different brethren. Can you do that? Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Amen. Amen. Thank you, God. Thank God. Praise the Lord God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. I wanna minister to my sister here this morning, the black. Yes, ma'am. I forget your name. What is it? Noreen. Okay. Reach your hands out to her. Will you do that? Hallelujah. Yes. Thou art not to look behind thee, for the bridges have been burned, saith the Lord. Yea, I, the Lord God, do start a new thing within thee. And it shall spring forth, saith the Lord. And thou shalt rejoice, and thou shalt see me in this, saith the Lord. But look not behind thee, for that which is there is smoldering, saith the Lord. Yes, it is gone, so leave it there. Leave it be, saith the Lord. Do not resurrect it in any way, shape, or form. But I, thy God, shall help thee in this hour. I, the Lord God, shall make a pathway for thee, and thou shalt know the direction that I take thee. It shall be a strange path, but it shall be the direction of the Holy Spirit. Know that my angels shall watch over thee and keep thee in this hour. For I put a word in thy heart and in thy mouth. Fear thou not man, but obey thy God. Yea, submit to thy God, love thy God, and know that which I've told thee I'll bring it to pass, and know that I shall put others with thee. There shall be protection, for I've said in the multitude of counselors there is safety. So yea, I say unto thee, take heed to the warning, yea, that thou surround thyself with others, for in doing it thou shalt spare thyself, and thou shalt be my Jew. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want this man in the blue right here. Would you come, sir? Yes, sir. Amen. Praise the Lord. Reach your hands out to him. Will you do it? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The Lord shall make thee a strong one. The Lord shall make thee a warrior. Thou shalt be a valiant one. Thou shalt be a Gideon. Thou shalt know, yea, what the Lord to say.
For I, the Lord, do move upon thee, and I, the Lord, do fill thee with my joy and my peace. Yea, I, the Lord, am with thee. Know that I am the God of vengeance, saith the Lord. I, the Lord, shall move swiftly in thy behalf. Trust thou the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not to your own understanding, saith the Spirit. Yea, and I shall direct thy pathway, and the pathway has been marked out, my son. Thou shalt run, but thou shalt not be overcome. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There is rejoicing in the camp. There is praising in the camp, saith the Lord. Know that I've given thee my mind. I put it within thee, my daughter. Yea, I say to thee, run thou with patience the race that's set before thee. Yea, I say, run with patience the race that's before thee. It is before thee, saith the Lord. And know that I'm with thee. Yea, there is no power that shall overcome thee or hurt thee. If thou shalt humble thy heart before thy God and walk softly before thy God shall see thee through. Thy God shall bring thee forth, and thou shalt be a blessing to many, saith the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. The call of God is upon thee. The love of God is within thee. And know that I, yea, do rejoice over thee, my daughter, for thou art mine. Thou art my jewel that I make up for that day. Rejoice ye in thy God, and know that the Lord has heard thy petition, and the cry has come up before me, and I do answer, saith the Lord.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
Come on, let's praise our God. Let's praise our God. Amen. Amen. Fret not thyself because of evildoers, for they shall soon be cut down, saith the Lord. But yea, I say unto thee, set thy mind upon him. Concentrate upon the Lord Jesus, for he is with thee. He is in thee, and he shall bring thee forth. But I say, fret not, fret not. I am with thee, saith the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Let's pray for the campgrounds here. Amen. Let's pray for the Millers and all that's involved here. Father, we hold up the camp. We hold up this place. We hold up Brother and Sister Miller, Lord. Mighty God, we thank you for this place. We thank you, God, that you're sending many into this place to be helped, to be delivered and set free, Lord. Oh, Father, bless them financially, Lord. Bless this place financially, God. Oh, God, meet the needs of this place. Amen. And brethren, if God moves on your heart today to help this camp financially, obey the Holy Ghost. I'm going to pray. And I'm going to ask God to speak to people today to help Brother and Sister Miller here at this camp. Amen? How many will agree with me? Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we loose the finances over this campground. We bind the darkness, Lord. We bind the hindering spirit. We loose finances upon this camp, upon the need here, Lord. God, in Jesus' name, we loose the finances. We command the finances to come in the name, the authority, and the character of Jesus. Father, move upon your people. Speak to their hearts today, Lord God. What they should do, God, to help in this place. We ask in Jesus' name. We're not asking for ourselves, Lord. We're asking for the campground. We're asking for the Millers. We're asking for this place, Lord God. Father, move upon the people. Help them, Lord, to obey thee. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Let's pray over the food. Father, we bless the food. We thank you for the spiritual food, the natural food. And God, bless those that prepared the food today. And bless those that partake of it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. God bless you.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.